described in the Gemara in Greece's Daf Tes Amud Aleph, the Maimon HaSinai. On the occasion of the Maimon HaSinai, we find that B'nai Yisrael screamed out Nasa B'Nishma. So it's self understood that a ger, habola his guy, or an Andrew who wants to convert, has to be mekabel all mitzvahs. The Gemara points out in Chayres and Daf Lamed that if a ger wants to accept some of the mitzvahs, but not all, or he wants to observe, he wants to accept upon himself all of the mitzvahs, the araisa, but he doesn't want to observe the mitzvahs, the rabbanon, so we're not supposed to accept such a ger. What if b'di'evad, you went ahead and you did accept such a ger? Would you consider the ger a ger min haTorah, because he committed himself to observe all of the biblical mitzvahs? Or perhaps I should say that even b'di'evad, even min haTorah, it's not a ger. So that's a question. How far does the Gemara mean to say, avilu dikteh kechad medivrei sofrim, even if he doesn't want to observe a mitzvah midrabbanan, you're not supposed to accept them even b'di'evad, it's not chal. So that's a machlokes between the Chofetz Chaim and Rav Chaim Oizer. Mishnah Berurah says that even b'di'evad, it's no good. Rav Chaim Oizer thinks that the Gemara never said that. The Gemara just said that l'chatchili shouldn't accept such a ger. Some professor in Eretz Yisrael just published a whole book about conversion. He came up with a theory that the whole concept of Kabbalah on mitzvahs was invented in the 1850s by one of the Gedolim, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkesh, who was the Rav in Lemberg. He's the author of the Shabbos Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak. This is utterly ridiculous. Kabbalah on mitzvahs is the ABC of gerus. What do you mean? A ger without Kabbalah on mitzvahs is not Jewish. No such thing as joining the Jewish nation without committing oneself to observe the mitzvahs. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, and Hilchas Geirus quotes the Loshon of the Rambam that if you accepted a ger who didn't, if you were Mechabel, the Bezdin was Mechabel a ger, and the ger never accepted Kabbalah on mitzvahs, so the Rambam says, but ever the gerus is good. So that statement doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So Rav Soloveitchik said Pshatis, and Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that he heard from his father Pshatis. And Rav Chaim Moshe has a tshuva where he quotes that all of the Achronim say the Pshat and the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch means the dramatic Kabbalah on mitzvahs. The Gemara says we have the ger. First we work with the ger, we teach the ger all of the mitzvahs before he converts. And then we have the ger stand in the mikveh up until his neck in the water. And then we repeat the Kabbalah on mitzvahs briefly. You don't have him stand there for an hour. For a few minutes, you review some of the highlights of the mitzvahs. Mitzvahs tamoris, the mitzvahs kalos, some of the easier mitzvahs, some of the more difficult mitzvahs. So the Rambam said that Kabbalah on mitzvahs, the dramatic Kabbalah on mitzvahs, as he's standing in the water up to his neck, and you have the Kabbalah on mitzvahs mamish immediately before his tovel in the mikveh, that's not meyakev. But if you have a ger who didn't accept mitzvahs, of course it's meyakev. The Gemara had a famous dispute in the days of the Tanoim regarding the Kusim. The Kusim was a group of non-Jews from the city Kusa who were transported to Eretz Yisrael by a non-Jewish king. The story is related in Sefer Melachim. And when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they were being attacked by lions, which apparently is a very unusual thing. Lions don't roam around in Eretz Yisrael today. So apparently it was unusual at that time also. So they figured out a whole interpretation. Why are lions coming to attack them? It must be that the God of the Jewish people is Elokei Haaretz. He's the God in Eretz Yisrael. So they have to convert to the Jewish religion in order in Israel, they have to convert. If they would have lived in Chutz Lords, when they lived in Kusa, they worshipped Avodah Zarah, so they were never attacked by any lion. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, you have to convert to the Jewish religion. So they converted to the Jewish religion, but they continued worshipping Avodah Zarah. There was never any Kabbalah on mitzvahs whatsoever. So the Pasuk says, Es Elohim hayu avdim? They continued to worship Avodah Zarah. There was zero Kabbalah on mitzvahs. The lions were satisfied, so the lions stopped attacking them. But the Gemara says the Geris for sure was meaningless. That was zero. A Geris without Kabbalah on mitzvahs is nothing. That's called Geri Arroyas. A non-Jew who converts because he's being attacked by lions and there's a total lack of Kabbalah on mitzvahs, so that person is a non-Jew. So then, this was in the days of the Tanakh. This story is related in Sefer Melachim. Many centuries later, in the days of the Tanoim, it was clear that the Kusim, who were descendants, Kusim in the days of the Tanoim, who were descendants of those original Kusim, who had meaningless conversions in the days of the Tanoim. The Kusim, regarding many mitzvahs, were extremely observant, very medaktik, even more medaktik than the naturally born Jews. And regarding other dinim, they were totally non-observant. So the Tanoim are trying to figure out, why are they keeping mitzvahs? The whole conversion from day number one was a farce. They never were mekabel all mitzvahs, so why? How did it come about that in the days of the Tanaim they were observing many of the mitzvahs? So there was a historical machlekes among the Tanaim. So half of the Tanaim thought it was by osmosis. The Kusim lived in Eretz Yisrael and they saw the Jewish people observing a lot of mitzvahs. So they picked up some of the mitzvahs. Some of them they did pick up, some of them they didn't pick up. The other Tanaim were of the opinion that no, that it wasn't simply by osmosis. We must assume that historically, at some later time, Shuvin is Gaira Belev Shalom. It must be that after that initial conversion that's described in Tanakh, that was lacking Kabbalah on mitzvahs, it must be that they converted a second time, legitimately, with a Kabbalah on mitzvahs, and then over the years they became lax and they only observed the mitzvahs that they observed. They were harbi medakdin geboi yosim Yisrael. They would be extremely meticulous. And the other mitzvahs, they were lax and they didn't observe. The question was whether the kusim in the days of the Tanaim are Jewish or non-Jewish. So the accepted opinion was that the kusim are geri emes. So Tosis explains in Sukkah daf chesem beis, the initial conversion in the days of the Tanakh was geri aroyis, clearly. They only converted mipachad. The pachad ha'arayis, because they were afraid of the lions. And the pasuk says there was no kabbalas on mitzvahs, and that geiris was meaningless. The whole dispute only is whether shuv nizgara b'leib shalom, was there a second conversion? We assume that yes. And then the Gemara says, and in the days of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir sent his students to spy on the kusim to see what's doing by them. They used to go to the top of Har Gerizim. Hagrizim and Harebel is where the Bnei Yisrael had the Krisis Bris, the Brochas, the Klolos, when the first day when they crossed over the Yarden, the days of Yishur the Nun. So Reb Meir sent some of his students to spy on them, and they discovered that the Kusim were worshipping an Avodah Zarah. They were worshipping a Demus Yaino, a dove. A dove is a symbol of peace, like peace now. So they were, if the Avodah Zarah, worshipping the symbol of dove. So Reb Meir was gozer aleihem that they have the din like goyim. Okay, so that's a question. Can you take a Jew and declare that he's a non-Jew just because he's worshipping Avodah Zarah? He's a Yisrael mumer. The Gemara says if you have a Jew who converts to another religion, he's still Jewish. If he's mekadosh anisha the kiddush and achal, he's considered a Yisrael mumer. So what status is this that the chachamim? In the days of Rab Meir, the Chachamim were goyim around the Kusim, they should have the status of goyim. What does that mean? So some Rishonim interpret, they have the status of Yisrael Mumer, they have the status of a Jew who converted to Avodah Zarah. So if El Shech the Behema won't be acceptable, he can't make an Erev. If you want to make an Erev Echatzeres, he can't make an Erev Echatzeres with him, he has the status of a non-Jew. But again, for those Dinim. But can I use him as my Shabbos guy? No, he's Jewish. He's not a non-Jew. Can I sell a chametz to him? Of course not. He's still Jewish. The Rambam holds otherwise. The Rambam writes in his commentary on Pirush HaMishnayos in the end of Maseches Nida that after Rav Meir was gozer al hakusim liyos ka'akum l'chol divreihem, so the mamash have the din of a nochri bein lahakal bein lahachmer. And the Rambam writes the following difference halacha l'maisa. We, the Rambam paskins l'halacha, that when a Jew dies, so the dead body is mitame b'maga b'masa ba'ohel. If a non-Jew dies, so the dead body is only mitame b'maga b'masa and not mitame ba'ohel. So the Rambam writes that until the days of Rav Meir, the Kusim had a status geri emes. We assume shuv nizgara b'leib shalom, there must have been a second conversion, and they had the din of a Jew. And then from the days of Rav Meir on, after they made this gzera de rabban, liyos ka'akum gemurim l'chol divreihem, means Bein L'Hakol Bein L'Hachmer. They lost their Kedushas Yisrael. They became non-Jews. And from now on, they're only Metamei B'Maga B'Mas and not Metamei B'Ohel. How in the world do you have the ability to make such a declaration? The rabbis have the power to declare that a Jew is a non-Jew. So this is based on the Pasuk in Trei Osar. The Pasuk is speaking about the lost 10 tribes. So they totally assimilated, they intermarried with the non-Jews when they were sent into Golus. Intermarried with the non-Jews and they lost the whole contact with their past. They didn't consider themselves Jewish at all. So the Gemara, the end of the first Perek in Yivam is the very last daf in the first Perek in Yivam. The Gemara has a discussion. One opinion was presented in the Gemara that any non-Jew in the world who is Mekadesh gives a ring to a Jewish girl and says, Hareya Mekudeshesli, you have to be Mesupik, Choshishim Lekidushim. Maybe this non-Jewish fellow is really a descendant from the lost 10 tribes. Maybe his mother's mother, all the way back, is from the lost 10 tribes. And therefore, maybe he's Jewish. Choshishim Shema Me'aseres HaShvatim Hu. That was how the first opinion of the Gemara presents itself. And then the Gemara says, we rejected that view. That's not accepted, la'alacha, because we have this pasuk in Treyosar describing the Aseres HaShvatim, that when they intermarried and they assimilated, Bashem Bagodu, they rebelled against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ubonim Yoram Yoladu, and they gave birth to non-Jewish children. So the Gemara says, based on that pasuk, that Lozozim Misham, when the Chachamim were discussing this issue, whether one who's actually a descendant from the Aseres HaShvatim today, is he Jewish or not? So the Gemara says, Lozozim Misham, the rabbis didn't budge from the spot, Ad, until they declared all of the descendants of the Aseres HaShvatim, Matsha So'um, Ka'akum Gemurim L'chol Divrei. The exact same expression that appears over here with respect to Reb Meir making the Gzeira on the Kusim, that Lozozim Misham, Matsha So'um, Ka'akum Gemurim L'chol Divrei. The Gemara says it's based on a pasuk in Treyosar. So the Poshib shot in the pasuk in Treyosar is that it's a one-time Hayrash Shor, once in the history of the world. The Navi declares that the Aseres HaShvatim lost the Kedushas Israel. The Rambam understands that, so the Rambam says that it's not only once in the history of the world, it's not a Hayrash Shor. Whenever you have a group of Jews who floated away so far away from mainstream Judaism, to the extent that the Chachomim and that generation declare they don't look like Jews at all, so then that pasuk applies, that nevuah Bashem Bagodah from the Treyosar, Bashem Bagodah Kibarim Zarmi Yoladu, the Chachamim can declare the group of people as non-Jews, and they talk, don't have a Kedushas Yisrael. I think the Reform Jews today probably floated away from mainstream Judaism much more than the Kusim did in the days of the Tanoim. But Baruch Hashem, there is no Bezin today who's interested in declaring that they have a din like a goy. But if there would be a Bezin, they would probably say it should be a Kal V'chomer from the Kusim. The Kusim used to keep a lot of mitzvahs. And the Reform are less than the Kusim. Anyway, so this is clear, that you need Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs for Geiris. If you don't have Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, the whole Geiris is not Chal at all. Mm-hmm.
Is it accepting mitzvahs, or is it the real thing that they didn't believe in Hashem? I mean, if you don't keep a lot of mitzvahs, if you have the tenet of believing in Hashem, is that still considered you Jewish? Or
we assume that not. You have to. The non-Jew has to accept the Ikari HaEmuna. In fact, right before he dips into the mikveh, we review some of the Ikari HaEmuna. The Gemara says one of them is Karbi Yonish. You have to review with him, do you believe in Hashgacha Pratis, that God knows everything that's happening? And he rewards the people, the righteous people, for doing mitzvahs, and he punishes the wicked people for doing others. We have to review that. We don't review all of the Ikari HaEmuna, but that one the Gemara singles out, Schar V'Yoyish. And then you also have to have, it's not enough just to have the Ikari HaEmuna, you have to have Kabbalah on mitzvahs as well.
Wasn't there a man himself who said, Yisrael HaFak Yishachot Yisrael?
Yeah. Chota, you do Averis. An individual person does Averis. But if you have a whole group of Jews who float away from mainstream Judaism, so the Chachamim should declare them, based on the Nevuah and Treyosa, they should declare them as a non-Jew. They lose the Kedushas Yisrael.
So even like in the Yemei Mashiach, the Aseres HaShvatim won't come back to their Nachalai in Eretz Yisrael?
That's a discussion in the Tanoim, in the end of Sanhedrin. It's unclear what's the relationship between this Gemara and the end of the first Perek. In Yevamos has a discussion in the days of the Amoraim. And the conclusion of the Gemara is that the Aseres HaShvatim lost the Kedushas Yisrael. So how does this compare there in the end of Sanhedrin? It's a Machlokes HaTanoim, whether Aseres HaShvatim will return or not. So Rashi raises the issue in Sanhedrin. And Achrayim talk about it. It's very unclear what's the connection between the two. I don't know. But the Gemara in Yevamos says that the Le'esato, at least for the meanwhile, the lost 10 tribes lost the Kedushas Yisrael. Maybe they'll return in the future. Maybe they'll reconvert again. So again, so the Gemara says all of the laws of Geiris are derived from Armin HaSinai. All the Jewish people had to undergo Geiris in order to become Jewish. from the days of Avraham Avinu, they were already partially Jewish. One has a Kedushas Yisrael. Kedusha always means Kedushana b'mitzvos avitzivanu. You have a Kedushas Yisrael means that you're chayv b'mitzvos. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim that there were seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. He's quoting from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. There were seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach until the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given one additional mitzvah, mitzvah milo. Yitzchak was given an additional, he's quoting a Medrash Rabbah. Yitzchak was given an additional mitzvah, the ability to be mafresh trumas and maisis, because it says, Vayizra Yitzchak baratzahi, vayimtzal sham me'ashu arim. He found 100 times as much as he expected would grow. The Rashi on that pasuk quotes from the Medrash Rabbah. That's the same Medrash that the Rambam quotes. Why was Yitzchak calculating how much is going to grow? He was making an omid lemaisris. He was trying to ascertain how much maisa he's going to be mafresh. Then it turned out it was 100 times as much. So you see that Yitzchak was given the ability to be, he wasn't obligated to, but he was given the ability to be mafresh maisris. And Yaakov Avinu was given the additional mitzvah of Gidon Noshe. So the Rambam apparently, the Rambam quotes this Medrash. Apparently the Rambam understands that each one of the others, Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, each one had a greater degree of Kedushas Yisrael, because we find in Chumash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Zechartes B'si Yaakov, after B'si Yitzchak, after B'si Abraham, Eskar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Abraham, a separate bris with Yitzchak, and a separate bris with Yaakov. What do you mean a Christmas bris means that that they had a Kedushas Yisrael? So if Avraham Avinu already had Kedushas Yisrael, why do they have to make a new bris with Yitzchak? The answer is that Yitzchak had more Kedushas Yisrael because he was given an additional mitzvah, and Yaakov had a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael, so he was given an additional mitzvah. And then the Rambam writes that in Eretz Mitzrayim, the Rambam quotes another medrash that in Eretz Mitzrayim, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, Amram, was a Navi, and he was given additional mitzvahs. We don't know exactly which mitzvahs. The Rambam was quoting such a medrash. Then, on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Nesau were given the mitzvahs of Korban Pesach, and Matzah and Mora, and then in Har Sinai. Then a little bit in Mora, they were given additional mitzvahs. Then in Har Sinai, they were given the remainder of the Taryag Mitzvahs Ater. So all of the laws of Geirus are derived from Maimon Har Sinai, because Bnei Yisrael had to undergo Geirus. We had a partial Kedushas Yisrael from the days of Avraham Avinu, and then from the days of Yitzchak, a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael, from the days of Yaakov Avinu, even more Kedushas Yisrael. It was Kedushana B'mitzvos V'tzivanu. As you have more mitzvahs, you have a deeper Kedushas Yisrael. And the full sense of Kedushas Yisrael was accomplished at Har Sinai. So at Har Sinai, everybody had to undergo Geirus. So the first step you had to have is Kabbalas on mitzvahs. How to say Nasim and Ishma, that they're accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're accepting the mitzvahs. Then the Gemara says they needed three additional things. They needed Bris Mila. Where did they have Bris Mila at Har Sinai? So the Gemara points out their increases, Daf Tesem and Aleph, that in Chumash it says they all had Bris Mila before bringing Korban Pesach and Parshas Bo. So if you read the Chumash superficially, you get the impression the need for the national Bris Mila in Parshas Bo was to enable them to eat Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says more than that. That was with an eye towards the future. This was the step. The Mila for the men in Mitzrayim was not only to enable them to eat Korban Pesach, Kolor Le'Yechol Bo, it was to enable them to complete the Geirus at Har Sinai. Then we understand also in Har Sinai there was a need for Tevilah and a Mikveh. The men and the women, everybody had to go to Mikveh. Truth of the matter, it doesn't really say that explicitly in the Chumash. It says that the married people had to go to Mikveh because of the problem of Balkeri. The men who are living with their wives were Balkeri, and the women were Polet the Shikhmazera. Where does it say that the single people had to go to Mikveh? So the Gemara in Krisis explains, no. That's explicit in the Chav Pasuk, that the married people had to be Porish 3 days in advance, that the women shouldn't be Polet the Shikhmazera, and the men shouldn't be Balkeri. But everybody had to be Tovel in the Mikveh, even the single people. How do you know? Because the third requirement is, the Chumash says that on the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai, they all brought a korban. At the end of Parshas Mishpatim, it describes the korbanos that were brought on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, and the korbanos were not because of Maimon HaSinai, the korbanos because of the geirus. And throughout all the future generations, the din is that any non-Jew who converts is required to bring a korban. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they actually brought the korban in the Beis HaMikdash, a korban oilo. It doesn't have to be an oilos behemah, that's very expensive. The Gemara says the practice used to be, they brought an oilos ha'oif, which is much less expensive. After the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, all those who would be Megayer, and they knew they were obligated to bring a korban, the practice was, the Mishnah is recorded, increase of the practice used to be, they would set aside money so that when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, they're going to use that money to bring a korban. After years went by, and the money that they set aside was never used for the korban, because the Beis HaMikdash was not rebuilt, and the money disappeared. They put the money in an envelope, and then the envelope disappeared, and the children used the money. And so the Gemara says Rabbi Chaman Zakkai was the chief rabbi for 40 years. Mar has a tradition, he lived to the age of 120. The first 40 years of his life he was in business, and then he retired at the age of 40 with $1 million, whatever, $100 million, I don't know. Then the next 40 years he learned till the age of 80. The age of 80, they appointed him as the chief rabbi, and he went strong to the age of 120. And under his presidency, his Beis Din made 9 takanas. So several of the takanas of Rabbi Yechman Zakkai were to repeal earlier takanas. So one of his takanas was that the gerim should not designate money. He saw, that obviously this was a few years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Rabbi Yechman Zakkai was the chief rabbi during the Churban Bayis Sheni. He was the one who went out from the siege of Yerushalayim, and he went to surrender to Vespasian, to Aspasianus, and he said he should make 3 requests, and he'll give whatever he asks. He said he wants Yavne v'Chachamel, and so on. So he was the chief rabbi during the period of the Churban Abayis, and then he continued to be the chief rabbi years later. So he saw quite a few years the Gerim was setting aside money, and the Beis HaMikdash was not being rebuilt so fast, and the money was disappearing. So they made a takana, they should no longer set aside money. When the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, so they'll bring the korban. If they live so long, they should bring the korbanos, but they shouldn't set aside the money now. So the Gemara asked the question, if every ger who converts has to bring a korban, so how can you be mekabel a ger? How do you know you can be mekabel a ger bizman? Is that, if they're not able to bring a korban, so say that the ger is not valid. So the Gemara says, no, we have a pasuk that says, you can accept the ger throughout all of future generations. And the Chumash itself speaks about a generation, the Chumash itself in Parshas B'chukaisai, in the Teichacha, speaks about the generation where there won't be any Beis HaMikdash. How can the other Pasuk say, if you'll accept the Ger throughout all the future generations? So obviously the Hakrovas HaKorban is not Miyakev. The Pashtus is, the Avnei Nezer has a whole pilpul about this. The Pashtus is not like the Avnei Nezer. Pashtus says that even Bizbancha Beis HaMikdash HaYekayim, the Korban HaGer, was not Miyakid. Avnei Nezer tries to say a Chiddush. He thinks that maybe some Rishonim think that the Korban was Miyakid, Bizman HaMikdash. Only Bizman HaZeh is not Miyakid. So the Pashtus says, like he quotes from the Rambam, that both Bizman, even Bizman HaMikdash, the Korban was never Miyakid. The Gershon is Geyer, who has Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, Emil and Tfiloh, he just didn't bring the Korban. He has an incomplete status of Kedushas Yisrael with respect to, he's not permitted to eat korbanos. When you have a korban Pesach, when you have a korban Shlomim, so any Jewish person who's Tohar is permitted to eat it. If you have a non-Jewish person who's, obviously all the non-Jews are Tohar and Atara, they're not Mekabel Tuma, so non-Jew, we're not permitted to give him a korban Shlomim to eat. So if you have a non-Jew who converted, who had Milo, Tvila, Kabbalah, Sal Mitzvahs, but he never brought the korban, he has an incomplete Kedushas Yisrael with respect to this din, that he's not permitted to eat korbanos. That's the Rambam quotes from the Gemara, increases on Daf Tes. That's what it says in the Gemara. So the Pashtus says that Bizmana, that was a din Bizmana Migdash, and that's a din Bizmana Zeh. A Gerish and his guy doesn't bring the korban. The Gerish is full with respect to all other intents and purposes. The one thing that's missing is, we treat him like a Mechusa Kippurim. A Gerish Alehevi Kabbanoi, it's considered like a tomei shalehevi karbonos, that he's not permitted to eat karbonos. So getting back again, where does it say in Chumash that the single people also went to mikveh? Chumash only says that the married people, on the occasion of Maimon HaShem, the married people had to go to mikveh, the women shouldn't be polet the shechva zera, and the men shouldn't be a balkeri, the covered Maimon HaSinai. Where does it say that all the single people had to go? So the pasuk in the end of Mishpatim, we just read, the end of Parshas Mishpatim, speaks about the korbanos that they brought on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. And the Gemara increases, understands the korbanos were not because of the Maimon HaSinai, the korbanos because of the gerus. Every ger throughout all the future generations has to bring a korban. And the pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu took the dam of the korban by Yizroik al ha'om. He reserved the dam al ha'om. How do you translate that pasuk? By Yizroik al ha'om. So the Targum Unkelis on that pasuk translates, he made a mizbeach on Har Sinai. He reserved the dam on the mizbeach on behalf of the nation. By Yizroik al ha'om, on behalf of the nation. The Gemara quotes Tanoim who do not learn like Targum Onkelos did. Targum Onkelos had a tradition from Ablezer and Rabbi Yeshua. That was his tradition. But the Gemara increases the Avtesim and Aleph understands by Yisrael Kalom literally. Instead of being Zerk the Dam on the Mizbeach, Moshe Rabbeinu is Zerk the Dam on the people, on the body of the people. So then the Gemara adds on a Gemiri, and we have a tradition that whenever you do a Hazor on a person's body, the Leka Hazor Beloy Tfilo. In order for a person to be able to be Mekabal HaHazor, so he has to be Toibol in the Mikveh in advance. Where do you ever have a Gemiri? We have a tradition. The Leka, where is the tradition? Where do you ever have another case? That was once in the history of the world, that they took the Dam of the Karbonis that they brought on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, and the Gemara understands instead of being Zorak on the Mizbech, they were Zorak the Dam on the people. Where else do you have a HaZor on a person? So the Mishnayos say, no. Let's say a person went to a funeral, he became a Tomei Meis. And normally when a person is Tomei, he goes to the mikveh and he becomes Tahor. Sometimes you go to the mikveh the same day, sometimes you have to wait 7 days. Sometimes you need Shivinikim, Azava need Shivinikim. So you go to the mikveh, you're Tahor. A person who goes to a funeral is a Tomei Meis, also has to go to the mikveh to become Tahor. But the mikveh is not going to help unless he first has Hazor Sparaduma water. You have to have Hazor Shlishi Yushvii. Let's say the person went to the funeral on Monday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So Wednesday is the third day after coming in contact with the mace. And then the seventh day, he went to the funeral on Monday. So Sunday will be the seventh day. So you have to have Hazor Shlishi Shvi from Paraduma water. You have to shech the Paraduma, burn it under the auspices of under the supervision of a Bez Nagorl. You burn it, you take some of the ashes and you mix it into a big vat of water. And then if you have a Tomei Meis, so he's a Tohar ala Tomei. An Adam Tohar doesn't have to be a Kohen. An Tohar has to be Mazeh, some of the water from the Paradumah, from this Mei Para, and the Tomei Meis, not before the third day after he came. Let's say he went to a funeral many years ago. So the third day, it's already way after the third day. So today will be the third day. We don't have any Paradumah water. So as soon as we make Paradumah water, so today is the third day. You have to have at least 3 days. And then 4 days later will be the seventh day. And after Hazor Shlishi Shvi, so then he can go to the mikveh, then he'll become Tor. So the Mishnayos say, Tosis points this out, the Mishnayos in Maseches Parah say, before the person can be Mekabel, before the Tamei Meis can receive the Hazor Shlishi, Hazor Shvi, he has to go to mikveh because Leka Hazor Beloi Tvila. That's what the Gemara says. There is a Din Ladoris like that. On the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, that was once in the history of the world that they did a Hazor of Dam HaKorban on the body of the person. So there the Gemara applies the rule. Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Leka Hazor Beloi Tfilo. You can't do a Hazor on the body of a person without the person first going to the mikveh. So that's how the Gemara establishes that everybody had to go to mikveh, the single people also, not only the married people. It's not explicit in the Chumash. Chumash is only explicit about the married people going to mikveh. And they had to be Purish 3 days in advance of Maimon HaSinai because the women could be Poleta Shichva Zera up until 3 days later. So this is the requirement for a Ger to be Mizgayer. You have to have the first step, Kabbalas on Mitzvahs, and then you have to have Mila, Utvila, and Korban, and the Korban Mizman HaZeh is not Miyake. There is a discussion, in Europe 100 years ago. There was one of the great Goyim was Rabbi Yitzchak Leponavizhin. His name was Rabbi Yitzchak Rabinowitz, and he was the rabbi in Ponovich. He was a genius. So there was the whole story goes, it's printed. Rab Chaim Eiser was the chairman of the Vad HaYeshivas in Poland. So all the money for the yeshivas went through him. And he had books, he had records of how much money he got from whom and how he was dividing the money among the various yeshivas, depending on how many students there were. Yeshivas that had more students, he gave more money and so on. So he used to go around asking for donations. A primary used to say, he once came to a Jew at a factory and he gave him a significant donation. Then the Jew was bragging about the fact that he was originally a non-Jew and he converted. And he shows him hanging on the wall. Some people have the college degree on the wall. Some people have the medical degree on the wall. Some people have the smicha on the wall. This fella had his ksav geiris hanging on the wall. He shows Rabbi Moses, see, I'm Jewish, and it's signed by Rabbi Yitzchak Leponavizhin. So Rabbi Moses stands, he starts reading it. So it says there in Hebrew that this geir was a hemophiliac, and they couldn't perform a bris milah. So he writes a whole shtickle Torah. Rabbi Yitzchak Leponavizhin wrote a Dvar Torah that even though we didn't do a bris milah, we converted him anyway, because just like Zman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, he can't bring the Karbonah, so the Pasuk says in Dor HaSeichem, so whatever he can't do is not Miyakev. So if he can't do a bris milah, so the bris milah is not Miyakev. Rav Chaim Eisa told the fellow, I don't think you're Jewish. Rabbi Yitzchak made a mistake, and he sent a letter to Rabbi Yitzchak Panavisha, he should please not paskin any shailas. Rabbi Yitzchak was known as a super genius. He was a big Baal Mechadish. He was always saying original Torah. And all of the people in his generation were very upset that he was saying wild things that were not didn't correspond to the Shulchan Aruch. So most of the Rabbanim did not agree with him. Some did, most of them did not agree with him. It's interesting, years before, 100 years before, there was a famous Hasidish Rebbe who was known as the Bnei Yisoschar. His name was not Yisoschar, his name was Tzvi Elimelech, Rapir Shmelech Dinever. He was the Dinever Rebbe. And he was told by his Chassidish Rebbe that he's from Shevet Yisachar. His Rebbe had Ruach HaKodesh. He told him, you're from Shevet. No one knows who's from what Shevet. So he called the Sefer Bnei Yisachar. And they used to pronounce it Yisachar. We pronounce Yisachar. So they had a tradition, they pronounced the both sins. Rashi writes on Divrei Yomim in his commentary that Yisachar is a Kriya Chassid. It's written with two shins, but you pronounce it with one shin. And by the Chassidim, they don't, the Rashi on Divrei Yomim, they say it's not written by Rashi, it's not reliable, not authentic, and they pronounce it Yisoschar. Okay. So the author, the Chassidish Rebbe, Rav Pirsch Melech Dinever, the author of the Bnei Yisoschar, wrote another sefer that's called Derech Pikudecha. Derech Pikudecha is like a sefer on mitzvahs. It starts from Bereshis, it has Pirei Berivya, then it has what's next? Gidanasha. Then you have Bris Milah. Bris Milah, Gidanasha, and so on, like a sefer Achinuch. And he has a little bit, on each mitzvah he has Machshava Dibur Maisa. So he divides every mitzvah up, he talks about Kavanas of the mitzvah, Tami HaMitzvah, then he has some of the Dinim of the mitzvah, like a Kitzer of the Dinim, and then he tries to write some Chidushim. It's a little bit like the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch is 100 times stronger, but it's like along the style of Minchas Chinuch, a little bit Chidushim. So on the mitzvah of Milah, on the second mitzvah of Milah, he talks about Milah of a Jew. If a baby is born Jewish, Milah of a non-Jew who wants to convert. So he says, what if a non-Jew is a hemophiliac, or he has a heart condition, and the doctors say it's a sakanas nefashis for him to undergo bris Milah? So he assumes that Dovah Poshet, he cannot convert. He doesn't agree with Rabbi Tzala Panovich, who came 100 years later. He writes that Dovah Poshet, he cannot convert without performing the bris Milah, but he has only a suffix. You're not permitted to put yourself into sakana. So if you have a Jewish baby is born, and it's a sakana to perform the bris milah, so you don't perform the bris milah. The only shaila he has is a non-Jew permitted to put his life into danger? He writes a lashon, is he allowed a ma'aser nefesh for Yiddishkeit? Is he permitted to put his life into danger, into a sakanas nefashis, in order to become Jewish? So he thinks maybe yes. It should be like suicide. A non-Jew is going to perform undergo bris milah in order to convert, and the doctor says it's a suffix sakana. So you should say he's not allowed to do that. It's a suffix suicide. And so he won't convert. So he assumes he can convert without the bris milah, and he's mistopic to say maybe he's permitted to undergo the milah, to put his life in danger, because moisen nefesh for Yiddishkeit. That's the lashon that he has. It's a little bit humorous. That's not what it means to be moisen nefesh for Yiddishkeit. It means something else. If a guy comes and threatens, I'm going to kill you, unless you worship Baba Dezara, so you have to be moisen nefesh al kiddush Hashem. But not that a non-Jew should put himself into sakana to convert. That's not called ma'aser nefesh for Yiddishkeit. So this, the generally accepted opinion is like Rav Chaim Moses said, that if you have a non-Jew who, because of medical considerations, cannot undergo bris milah, so we assume he cannot convert. The Gemara learns out from a pasuk that when you have a non-Jew who converts, you have to have a bezdin present at the time that he's converting. You need a bezdin for the kabbalas on mitzvahs. And then the Gemara says, you have a bezin watching when he goes into the mikveh. Never says explicitly in the Gemara, one way or the other, but you have to have a bezin at the time that you perform the bris milah on the non-Jew. So that's really, in Shulchan Aruch, that's a discussion, two different opinions. The question is usually, in the yeshivas, they usually assume that the question runs the following. The issue involved is the following. Is it that there's a ma'aser geiros of tefillah and a ma'aser geiros of milah? Milah and tefillah, both ma'aser geiros. So just like you need a bezin present to supervise the tefillah and the mikvah, so you need a bezin present to supervise the milah? Or should I say, no, not that milah is a maisa geris. We don't accept an orel. A non-Jew who's an orel cannot be accepted as a geris. But it's not that the act of milah is a maisa geris. You have to have milah to remove the status of orel. So if it's a maisa geris, then we understand you should require a bezin at the time that the moel is doing the milah. More correct is that you should have a bezin. In New York, every so often there's a milah performed on a baby born to a non-Jewish mother, and they tell the moel that it should be mal the baby l'shem geris. And a lot of times they do it privately in the home, and they don't have a minyan. Usually the minyan is you have a minyan when you perform a bris. So that's when it's a bris on a Jewish baby. You have a minyan and you have a suda. When it's a bris performed on a non-Jewish baby, so you don't throw a big party, but still you have to have a bezin. L'chatchili, you require a bezin at the time. B'di'evit, there are different opinions. So the generally accepted opinions that b'di'evit, if the mila was done without the benefit of the bezin watching, so b'di'evit, you won't have to repeat the mila. You wouldn't have to repeat the hatafas dan bris. But l'chatchili, the proper thing is that the mila should be done in the presence of the bezin. There is another question. Let's say the moel at the time that he performed the bris on this baby didn't realize that the mother is not Jewish. He thought that the mother, he sees the father is Jewish. Schwartz, Levy, whatever. Goldstein, Goldberg. He sees the father is a Jewish person. He didn't know that the mother is not Jewish. So the moel comes and he does a milah, l'shei mitzvah. He thinks that this is a Jewish baby. He's performing a milah. Then it turns out later on it was a non-Jewish child. Would that be valid or not? If the milah was not done, l'shei milah. So what's the din stam? Let's say there's an adult non-Jewish man who had a circumcision performed on him when he was a child or when he was an adult for medical purposes, for hygienic purposes. The milah was not done l'shem mitzvah at all. That's a machlekes hatanoim. Anachri habole his gar kishuhu mohu. The Gemara in Masechus Shabbos. Masechus Shabbos has 24 prokim. So one of the 24 prokim is all about perkei ablezin in the milah. It's all about bris milah. And it discusses not only the laws of Mila on a Jewish baby, it discusses the laws of Mila on a ger habola his gayer. So the Tanoim have a machlokes, what's the din? Anachri habola his gayer kishuhu mohu, does he have to undergo hatafas dan bris? Or do you say it's good the way it is? The Tosfos has two opinions, halacha lemaisa, had a pasken in that case. Do you need? So misofik we are machmer, that we would require a hatafas dan bris in such a case. So that's if the bris, if the Mila was done the shame, medical purposes, hygienic purposes. Here it's a different shayla. Here the moel did the milah, the shame mitzvahs milah, thinking that it's a Jewish baby. Then it turns out it's a non-Jewish child. Can that milah that was done, the shame mitzvah, serve as a milah, the shame geris? So that's a famous dispute. It's ruba de ruba of the poskim, let's say 90%, more than 90% of the poskim hold that if the bris milah was done, the shame mitzvah, even though it wasn't done the shame geris, the moel didn't realize that it's a non-Jewish baby, there would be no need for hatavas dan bris. So that's a generally accepted opinion. Rabbi Weiss, who used to be the Gaivet of Yerushalayim, as they call it, the Goyen HaBezn of the Eid HaCharedis in Yerushalayim, he used to be in Manchester. He was a Dayan in Manchester in England, and then they made him the Dayan by the Eid HaCharedis. He has 13 volumes of Shabbos Shuvos Minchas Yitzchok. He was an Ungarische, so he always goes with all the Ungarische chumras. So because even though 95% of the poskim say that there's no need for hatavas dan bris, but one of the Hungarian poskim says that you do, so that's the shita that he adopts. He always adopts. If there's a machloek, it's a Hungarian against everybody else, so the Hungarian is always right. That's his policy. But the generally accepted opinion is that if the moel did the milah of the shei mitzvah, he didn't realize that it's a non-Jewish baby, so there wouldn't be any need to repeat the hatafas dan bris later. The Gemara learns out from Psukim that you require a bezdin supervising the geris. So he said you need a bezdin for the, you need a bezdin for the kabbalas al mitzvahs, and you need a bezdin for the tefillah and for the mila. L'chatchila the Shulchan Aruch requires a bezdin, and b'di'evit if the mila was done without a bezdin, the accepted opinion, generally accepted opinion, is that the bezdin is not miyakim. Here there's a major question. If all the laws of Geirus are derived from Maimon HaSinai, so where was there a bezin on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai? So you may want to say that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of Shivim V'Yechud. He had the status of the Sanhedrin G'dayla. So why don't you require a Sanhedrin G'dayla every time you want to be Mekabel Geir? The Gemara says, Yetzar Shloisha, a Bezna of three is enough. There was not Bezna of three on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. That's one kasha that Mefarshim are bothered with. Then they have another kasha, a strong kasha. A ger who converts is making a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's say I sign a contract to work for you. So I sign a contract and you sign a contract. You give me a copy of the contract that you signed, I give you a copy of the contract that I signed. So it's a ger habola his gayer is entering into a contract with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Akrisis bris. So on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, there was a gilui shechina. They all saw that there was a gilui shechina there. So why shouldn't we derive from Maimon HaSinai that you can only be mekabel a ger if you have a gilui shechina? So that'll cut out all the gerim in the future unless you're going to have a gilui shechina. So there's an interesting sefer, and there was a great goyim, Rabbi Shua LeKutna. I think his name was Trunk, Rabbi Shua Trunk, and he was a rabbi in Kutna. He's famous for many things. One of the things that he's famous for is the Heta Mechira, that the farmers in Eretz Yisrael, if they sell their farm to an Arab, to a non-Jew, so some of the laws of Shemitah don't have to be observed. So he was one of the three Gedolim in the late 1800s when the Jews started moving to Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Montefiore, not Montefiore, the other one from France, what was his name? Who was the other wealthy Jew? Anshel Rothschild was sponsoring the first yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, so he gave them permission to use his mother's name. The first yeshiva was Maskeret Batya. His mother's name was Batya. So Rothschild gave him permission to use his mother's name because he was very impressed that they were Shomrei Mitzvahs, they were Medaktik and Mitzvahs, and they moved, the first group moved, a minion of people moved from Lithuania, from Lita, they moved to Eretz Yisrael a couple of years, in the middle of the Shemitah cycle. So it was like 3 years before Shemitah. Then it came Shemitah, the Shaila was what they're going to do on the farm. So the Rabbanim in Europe worked out this whole Heta Mechira idea. People make a mistake, they think Rav Kook invented the Heta Mechira. Rav Kook didn't invent the Heta Mechira, was there from the 1600s, from the days of the Sephardish Gedolim in the 1600s. Then in the late 1800s, way before Rav Kook came there, until the late 1800s, when the first yeshiva was founded, this Maskeret Batya that was paid for by Rothschild, he paid for them to travel to Eretz Yisrael, and he sponsored everything. So the Rabbanim in Europe renewed this Heta Mechira. So one of the three was this Rabbi Shua LeKutna. So he has a chibur on Choshen Mishpat that's called Yeshuas Yisrael. So in the beginning of Choshen Mishpat, he writes a teretz to Faran for the two kashas. How can you establish that you need a bezdin for geirus? All the laws of geirus are derived from Maimon HaSinai. There was no bezdin. And the second kasha was, why don't you learn out from Maimon HaSinai that you can only be mekabel a geir if you have both parties there? Geirus is a bris, a contract between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the non-Jew who wants to join the Jewish nation. So you should insist on having a gilui shechina there. How can you be mekabel a geir in the future without a gilui shechina? So he says, one kasha farenses the other. On the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, the both parties were there. The Shechina was there and the Bnei Yisrael were there. So there was no need for a bezin. And the future generations, if you'll have a Gilui Shechina, so they won't need a bezin. If you have no Gilui Shechina, so Elokim Nitzah Ba'adas Kel. If you'll have a bezin convened, so the bezin will bring the Shechina there. We always assume whenever there's a bezin that the Shechina is there to help the bezin to make sure they don't make a mistake and sorry. So the reason why you need a Bezdin in all the future generations is because you don't have a Gilui Shechina. So the Bezdin represents the other party, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be Mekabel Agir. This is his view. That's a big machlokes among the Rabbanim today. How are we supposed to view the role of the Bezdin? You see, when you have a wedding, so the din requires, the Gemara says in the end of Kiddushin on Daf Samavav, you have to have two witnesses watching under the chuppah. What we call in halacha, what Rav Chaim Soloveitchik calls in halacha, edus lekima dovah. If you don't have two people watching when the chosen gives the ring to the kala, even though who vehi moedim, the boy and the girl both agree that they got married, he gave a ring and he said, Hare amikudesh, she agreed. The halacha says the kiddushin is not chal. And we usually assume the same by get as well. If a man gives his wife a get and no edim watching, so we assume that the get is not chal at all. So you have to have Eidus Lekim Adom. If you don't have Eidim watching, it's not valid. So there are many Rabbanim who think that the Bezdin by a Ger is a Bezdin Lekim Adom. The Bezdin has to watch when the Ger is Mizgar. But not that the Bezdin is mekabel the ger, like the Eidim. The Eidim watch when the Chassan gives the ring to the Kala. Are they going to interrogate the Chassan Kala and ask him, how did you meet and who approved the Shidduch? And are you sure that you're going to be able to support it? I don't have to ask any questions. The halacha says the boy marries the girl and you have to have Eidim watching. So that's what many Rabbanim think. The ger is toivel in the mikveh, he's megayer, and you have to have a Bezdin watching. Instead of requiring two people to watch, you need a Bezdin of three people to watch. And the Rabbi Shua Lekutin, his sefer, says, no, the Bezdin is mekabel ger. The question would be, let's say, this is what he discusses, let's say, a guy jumps into a mikveh, he says, I'm not Jewish, I just had a bris, l'shem geiris, and I want to become Jewish. And there are three rabbis watching there when he jumps into the mikveh. And they say, we don't want to have anything to do with this. Go get yourself a different bezin. He says, I don't care what you want. I'm toivel in the mikveh, I'm becoming a ger. So would that be valid or not? So Shula Kutner thinks that it's no good. You have to have the consent of the bezin. They have to agree to me mekabel a ger. And other rabbanim who are not familiar with this position of Shula Kutner, they think that it would be good. Let's say the two Eidim watching, a boy gives a girl a ring, says, Hari Amukadeshis Lina, two people watching. And they say, we don't want to have anything to do with this. It doesn't matter whether they want or they don't want. As long as you have two witnesses watching, when he gives the ring to the girl, he says, Hari Yat. So the Eidim did their job. So the question is the Bezin that's needed for the Geris, is it just Lekiyam Adover? That's all? Same as the Shnei Eidim, Lekiyam Adover? Or do you say, no, more than that, the Bezin represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have to accept the ger. The Beis HaLevi, in his Sefer HaChumash, writes, also, partially like Rabbi Shula Kutner, he says, the Bezin represents Klal Yisrael. It's not a Bezin Lekiyam Adover like by the two Eidim by the Chuppah. No, the Bezin has to be Mekabel them, but it's not the way Rabbi Shula Kutner writes that the Bezin represents the Shechina, the other party in the contract over here. It's rather that the Bezin represents Klal Yisrael to decide, we are hereby accepting you into our fold. We accept you as a proper candidate, and we let you join our Jewish people. So they have to agree that they want to accept the ger. He can't just jump into the mikveh and say, whether you like it or not, I'm becoming a ger, and you just constituted the Bezin Bal Korchav. See, this is a question. There are, once in a while you have a person who himself is a ger, who learned the yeshiva, and he got smicha, he functions as a rabbi, and sometimes he will serve on a Bezdin for Gerus. So that's the question, is that allowed? So the Gemara has a din, a Ger can only serve as part of a Bezdin. A Ger can serve as part of a Bezdin if he's Dan Chavera HaGer. If the Din Torah is only between two Gerim. If the Din Torah has to do with Yisraelim, Gemurim, who are not Gerim, so the Ger is not allowed to serve as a member of the Bezdin. So that's a Shaila over here. That in recent years this was discussed. What would you say in the last 100 years? Somehow the Shaila never came up before. I don't know why it was never discussed, but it became relevant here in the New York area. There is a fellow who himself is a ger, I think from South America, and he functions as a rabbi for people from South America, and he often functions as a member of a bezin for Kabbalah's gerus. So that's a big question whether that's valid or not. Is it just that the Bezdin has to supervise the Geirus? It's Ger Dan Chaver HaGer. It's like when a boy gives a ring to the girl. You need two Eidim, see? You need a Bezdin of three. So if the Bezdin for Geirus is just to supervise the Geirus, so it's Ger Dan Chaver HaGer would be good. But if you say the Bezdin represents the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, or the Bezdin represents Klal Yisrael, so then it's not Ger Dan Chaver HaGer. It's representing the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You can't have a Ger serve as a member of the Bezdin. Or there'll be another shayla. We have a din that a negea bedover may not serve as a dayan. One who's a negea bedover, his mind may be swayed, since he has a personal negea, his mind may be swayed in one direction or another. So the question is, let's say, the rabbi who prepared the ger for conversion, he's been teaching the ger for the last year, and he thinks that the ger is ready to be megayer. He knows better than anybody else, probably, but he may be negeh bedover because he's been working with the ger for so long, so of course he's going to think that his ger is prepared. If someone else will interview the ger, they may realize the ger is not yet ready. Or let's say another case, a couple wants to adopt a little baby. So the father, the husband who wants to adopt the baby, it's in his interest. He wants to adopt his baby. He wants to have a Jewish child. So he's also a negei b'dover. I don't know what there is to think so much about by Ger Katan, but still, if it's the adoptive father who's going to serve as a member of the Bezdin, so he's a shtik on the Ger b'dover. So that's the question. Would we say that a member of the Bezdin for Geris is a negei b'dover, shouldn't serve as a Ger? They say, no, what do you mean negei b'dover? They're not paskening anything. They're just watching what he does. The Geris toivala the mikveh, and you need, just like by wedding, you need two Adam lekim adover, so by Geris, you need a Bezdin lekim adover. I can say there's a psul negei. They're not issuing any decision on anything. They don't have to decide anything. That's the question. Are they deciding or are they not deciding? There was, for many centuries, there were two practices regarding the situation when a non-Jewish woman converts. So how do you have, the non-Jewish woman has to be toivel in a mikveh. So you got to have a bezin of three men watching when the woman is undressed toivel in a mikveh. So many tzaddikim and gedolim throughout the generations would not stand in the mikveh, they would stand outside of the mikveh. They would have the mikveh lady supervise, like the mikveh lady is in charge when the married women go to mikveh. So they have the mikveh lady tell the giyoris that she should be toivel in the mikveh, and the bezin would stand outside in an adjacent room. And the practice in other places was not so. The woman would wear a loose bathrobe. If you wear clothes, it's not always a chatzitza. If you wear tight clothes, it's a chatzitza between the water and the body of the person who's toivel in the mikveh. You wear a bathrobe, so you can be all covered up. And there won't be any problem of chatzitz, and there won't be any problem of tznias. The bezin won't see the woman's body at all. So many bati din were makbet about that. So there used to be a dayan in London, dayan Grosnas, label Grosnas. He learned in Radin by the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim was a kohen. He was a levi. So they say, oh, he Chafetz Chaim liked him very much. So on Yom Tovim, when the Chafetz Chaim was duchen, he had him wash his hands. Okay, but it was a tam chacham without that. Even aside from the fact that he washed the Chavetz Chaim's hands, he was very friendly with Rabbi Gerelli, who used to teach in our yeshiva. They learned in Radin at the same time. Dr. Belkin also. Dr. Belkin knew Rabbi Gerelli from Radin. They were Radin at the same time. So this Dayan Grosnas passed away already 10 years ago. So he used to live in the same building when he retired from the Bezdin in London. He moved to Yerushalayim. He used to live in the same building where Rabbi Rakefet lives now. So he has a collection of shilas that's called Lev Aryeh. His name was Label Aryeh. And he has a whole tshuva about this topic. Is it proper that the bezin stands outside of the room when a woman is mizgayer, or should we insist the bezin has to be dafke in the room watching when the woman puts her head under the water? So he develops the whole thing. He thinks that it's a machlokes rishonim, and he recommends you have to be machmer. So originally, the Bezdin in London had a practice when the Dayanim would write a long tshuva, so they would print it in a small pamphlet. This was a long tshuva. He printed several other tshuvas also, originally in a small pamphlet, and then he reprinted them in his sefer. So originally, when this tshuva was printed, he sent a copy to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he asked for his opinions. Rav Moshe has a tshuva addressed to him. Rav Moshe didn't get his name straight, so he didn't realize the name was Grosnas. So he wrote Grosnar. It's supposed to be a samach at the end, Grosnas. He has children in Eretz Yisrael, in South Africa, and in London. He has family in London. So Rav Moshe is masking with him that it's a machlek zavishan. Rav Moshe thinks that the bezin should insist that they have to be in the room when the woman is toivel in the mikveh. And even if a woman converted 10 years ago, 30 years ago, and the bezin was not in the room, even b'dieved, he thinks that the woman should be toivel again, b'li bracha, because it's a sveikah d'dinah. He thinks that it's a serious machloikis, and you should insist that the bezin should be dafke in the room. When you have, we had a student here in the yeshiva who converted three times. The first time he converted up as a reformer, conservative or something. Then he was, I don't know what he was doing there. He was in Hawaii. He was a student. He was in Hawaii before he came to yeshiva college. And he decided he wants to have an Orthodox conversion, so he went to Lubavitch there in Hawaii. So they were megayer him. He never had a bris milah, and he was converted by the Reform, I think, or the Conservative. So they didn't do anything. So they did. They had him toivel in the mikveh, and then they had him do a bris milah. And in the Gemara it says the correct order should be first you do the bris milah, and then you have the ger toivel in the mikveh. What if you reverse the order? which they did over here. What if you had first the ger was tovel in the mikveh, then he had the bris milah? So that's a major machlokes of Rishonim. And the Shulchan Aruch says, the shach says, you should have the person tovel in the mikveh again. If by mistake he was tovel first before the milah, then you should have him repeat the tefillah in the mikveh b'li bracha. Usually the ger habola his geir says a bracha when he's tovel. Here it's misafik. So the week before his wedding, his Rebbe, who was going to be Masada Kedushin, asked him, tell me exactly how Lubavitch will megayer you in Honolulu. So he described it, that first they had him go to the mikveh and then they had the bris milah. He said, you sure? You sure? He said, absolutely sure. So he had to take him to the mikveh to be megayer the third time before he gets married. So that's a big, there's a lot to discuss about that. Why should the Seder be miyaka? Why should the Seder not be miyaka? That's a big discussion. And we've shown him different opinions. The Gemara has a halacha in Ksubas and Daf Yud Aleph and Aleph that a ger katan madbila moso al das bezdin. The case in the Gemara, Rashi explains, is that the ger doesn't have a father, and the mother imehivi yosel bezdin his gar. The mother brings him to bezdin to be megar. If you have a non-Jewish family, the mother, the father, with all the children, and the parents want to convert, so that the Gemara says everyone agrees to that. That nichalahu, that everyone would agree that that's a zochen liyadam shalai b'fanav. The children would. We assume the children are infants, they don't know what's going on, but they probably, we assume they probably would want to be of the same religion as their parents. But the Gemara has this shaila, what if the father is not alive, or the father is divorced from the mother, and the mother brings him to Bezin his guy. So that's a chiddush in the Gemara, that's what we paskin like that, that's a debate in the Gemara, we paskin that is the din. Even if the mother brings him his guy, we assume it's still zochli adam shleib b'fanav, and you can be megar the child. What if, let's say, we have cases today, not the mother, not the father. Now we have a little child, they give the child up for adoption in Afghanistan or Trieste or wherever, and then they bring the child to America, and then the adoptive parents want to convert. The adoptive parents are Jewish and religious, observant, they want to convert this child. So that really doesn't say in the Gemara the Rishonim. That's Rav Chaim Moshe has the tshuva about that. So he said that's also acceptable. Not only if ima hivi also his guy, or like Rashi, if the mother brings him, even neither the father nor the mother, they gave the child up for adoption. He's going to be raised by this family. So we assume that that's also a form of zochel liyadam shalai b'fan. The pashtus says that we only consider it as a chus. Abitz Kochanan has this tshuva, and this was the majority opinion. We only consider it as chus for the child to be converted as an infant if he's brought up by an observant family. If the adoptive parents are going to be religious, they're going to give him a religious education. So he's going to be adopted by non-observant Jewish parents. And they're not going to give an Eretz Yisrael in America. They're not going to give him any religious education. So that's not a schus. It's better to remain a non-Jew than to become Jewish and not be educated with the 613 mitzvahs. For sure he's going to violate Shabbos and Kashrus and everything under the sun if they're not going to give him a religious education. So the pashtus is, that's the majority opinion. Pashtus is that it's only considered a zochel liyadam shalai b'fanav if the adoptive parents are observant themselves.
Even if they are observant, why, if he's not Jewish, why do you consider it a schus for him to become Jewish from his perspective? Meaning, better for him to be non-Jewish, keep 7 mitzvahs, 7 bnei Noach, and then not become Jewish.
Life is easier, yes. So that's the debate that the Gemara has. So the Gemara says, if you have a non-Jew who's already an adult and is already used to living, eating chazer and being promiscuous and leading his style of living, so then it's not a schus. It's whatever he's used to, that's easier to remain like that. But kol zman, the child is an infant and he didn't yet get used to eating treifas, didn't yet get used to being b'chal Shabbos, and leading the life of a non-Jew. So that's the chiddush that the Gemara said. We consider that as a schus. The Gemara says, higdilu, when the child grows up, let's say, what's the original normal case of zochel liyadam shalai b'fanav? You want to give a gift to someone who happens not to be here. So I give you the gift, and you pick it up, and you say, zochel liyadam shalai b'fanav, you were kind of the gift on behalf of the other party. What about when the other party finds out about it? He says, I don't want to be indebted to him. I don't want his gift. I don't want his tavis. I don't want, leave me alone. So if the Gemara says, if he's moiche, when he first finds out about the fact that someone was zeiche matan on his behalf, he says, I don't want it. So if he's moiche, so that breaks up the whole zochel liyadam shalai b'fanav. So the Gemara says the same is true by the ger katan. It's based on zochel liyadam shalai b'fanav. So the Gemara says, when the child reaches the age of 12 or 13, by a girl 12 and by a boy 13, a bar das, and then they express their, they say at that time, thank you very much, but we'd rather not be Jewish. So then the Gemara says they break up the whole Zoch and Olam Shlomo Refanim. Turns out that it was never Chal. Not that up until then they were Jewish and now they become non-Jewish. Whenever you do an act of Zochan on behalf of someone else, and then when the person becomes aware that you did a Zochan by an infant, we don't consider him aware till he becomes a Bardas, till the girl reaches 12 or the boy reaches 13. When they find out that we did them a favor and we magai them and they say we don't want it, so then the whole Zechiyah is cancelled. Shailas, let's say there was a non-observant family, adopted a baby, and they converted the child, and we assume that that's not called a schus. And then later on, the child goes to NCSY, and he decides he wants to be observant. So the pashtus is that we would not say Zochan Adam Shlavifanim. Zochan Adam Shlavifanim only applies if, from the perspective of the present, it looks like it's going to be a toiv of him. We're doing him a favor. But if in the perspective of the present, the parents are not observant, the parents are not didn't commit themselves to give him a religious education, if at the present it doesn't look like it's going to turn out to be a schiyah, even if in the future it turns out that we did him a taiva, in the future, 20 years later, he says he wants to be Jewish, he'd have to be megayir all over again at that time. The pashtus is that it's only considered zochin if it's a schus right now. Then we'll just close with this. The Gemara has in Yevamos on Daf Ayin Ches, Adin, what if there's a non-Jewish woman who is pregnant and she wants to convert and she wants her baby also to convert, the Uber to convert. So the Gemara says, Mu'uberish and Izgaira, a pregnant non-Jewish woman who is toivel in the mikveh, so when the baby will be born later, Bino ein otzarach tvila. The child will not require another tvila later, the shame geiris. The tvila in the mikveh that the mother did satisfied the need for tvila for the child. So the Gemara raises an objection, why so? There is a famous dispute in the Tanoim and a question in Tosfos, two opinions in Bava Kama. Machlokes the Rinner Rabbeinu Tam had a paskin, do we assume Uba Yerachimoy? Do we assume Uba Lav Yerachimoy? Do we assume that the fetus is considered Ke'ever Meivareha? Or do we treat the fetus, the Uba, as if it's a separate Guf, Shnei Gufim? So the Gemara says, if you should adopt the position Uba Yerachimoy, okay, so there's only one goof, the mother's goof, and the mother was toivel on the mikveh, there's no problem. But if one should adopt the other position, uba lav yarechimai, so the two different goofim, so isn't the mother's body a chatzitza for the tvila on the baby? True, it's ger kot madabinim also adaz bez, and zochad alam shleibifana, fine, but there's no, the tvila was only good for the mother, the tvila was no good for the uber. So the Gemara answers, no, that the tvila is good for the uber also. Because since Haida Ravisi, since that's the normal, natural way that babies grow inside the mother's body, so the mother's body is not considered a chatzit. That's an important Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Ayin Ches. And the line that the Gemara answered, Haida Ravisi, is quoted la'alochin in Hilchas Mikvois, when a woman has to go to mikveh, and sometimes she has stitches on the outside of the body, inside on the gums, whatever, or sometimes you have... sometimes because of medical conditions you have certain chatzitzas on the body, so sometimes in the Shulchan Aruch we'll assume Haina Revisa, even though it's not exactly the same, that in the Gemara this is a natural way and this is the doctors put this thing on, so nonetheless they stretch the Gemara a little bit. Whatever is considered normal and it's healthy for the body is not considered, doesn't constitute a chatzitz.
What about braces? I was reading about, they just came out that with braces you can't vote, it doesn't count.
Right, you should take out the braces. If you have braces, then they're going to be for a couple of months. For a couple of years. So you should really wait to take it out. Yeah, the question is, are the braces only for cosmetic purposes? Because the teeth are crooked, or the braces are really there for the good health of the teeth? If it's only for cosmetic purposes, then it certainly should be a chatzitza. But if it's there for the good health of the teeth, because otherwise the person won't be able to chew, maybe there's more room to be lenient.
Then what, also, so just away from the conversion, what if when a woman needs to go to the mikveh anyway?
Right.
You can't take out the braces every month.
So you got to figure out, there are different opinions, how long do you plan to leave the braces there? The baby is going to be bare for 9 months, or at least 8 months or so. So if you're going to have something that's necessary medically for 6 months, then many poskim say that's not a chatzitz. Some say if you have 6 months to go, Some say no, as long as it's going to be there for 6 months, even though we're only holding by the last month, since it was there for 6 months, it's also good. The different opinions, some say 1 month, the different opinions how you apply this Gemara. But this, the original Gemara, is by the Merberish and his Gairo. The Nadi Bihuda has comments that are printed on the side of the Shulchan Aruch that are known as Dogel Merava. So he writes an interesting Chiddush that's accepted now. He says when a ger who's tovel in the mikveh has to have a bezin watching when he's tovel. If the bezin doesn't realize that the woman is pregnant, they just know they're converting a woman. They didn't realize they're converting a baby also. So then he says the gerus of the baby didn't have the benefit of a bezin. So that's why whenever a woman converts, you have to ask her whether she's pregnant or not. Recently there was a tzatzke, a girl who converted, and they asked her whether she's pregnant. She says no, she was a single girl. And then 2 months after she converted, she discovered surprise that she was pregnant. She had Jewish boyfriends all along. She was always hanging out in Williamsburg or in Muncie, by the very from. I don't know, when I met the girl in advance, she looked like a hooker to me. But she always hung out by the very frum of people. So then she got all nervous, she got all petrified. They asked her if she's pregnant, she told them a lie, but at the time she didn't realize that it was a lie. So she wanted to know, what's the din? Is the conversion acceptable or not? So I wasn't involved in the conversion. So one of the rabbis called me up and he asked, what's the din? So I told him, her conversion is perfect. The only thing is, when the baby will be born, so the baby will need new geirus. So one of the rabbis said, why should we be toivel the baby later? Let the woman go to mikveh a second time now. Now we'll tell her bezin. She wants to go to mikveh, she's single. She's going to go to mikveh to be megayer the uber. The Gemara says, Hayne Revise, that there's no problem of chatzitza. So let the woman go to mikveh a second time. So I didn't think that sounded right. I thought that the tefillah is only good for the uber. If it's good for the mother, it's agav the mother is good for the uber. But the woman is already Jewish. She already converted. Now she's going to be tovel in the mikveh a second time, only for the uber. I thought that wouldn't be good. So I had one of the rabbis in Yerushalayim ask Rabbi El Yashiv about this. Rabbi Yashiv is now close to 100, and this was about 3 years ago. So he was also close to 100, 94, 95, whatever, something like that. So the rabbi who asked him the shaila started looking up all the sources. And he thought that there's room to be makel. So he presented the shaila to Rabbi El Yashiv. He says he was surprised. Rabbi El Yashiv said, absolutely no. He said, it's no good. So the rabbi started talking. He said, no, you're wrong. It's no good. He insisted that apparently he had worked it out earlier. He's an old man, but he's still very strong in learning when you talk to him. Now, since then, he got a lot weaker. But he thought that it's no good. That's a shaila halacha l'maaseh.
You said uvar yerechim uvan abad, that's not good, because tefillah for the mother is not worth anything at this point.
Maybe it was good originally, though.
What do you mean? The mother was tovel in the mikveh, so there's only one body, only the mother.
No, I mean, if you're the whole shaila of milui yehuda is based on uvar lav yerechimah.
Lav yerechimah, yeah. If you hold uvar yerechimah, there's no shaila.
They don't press the mat, doesn't go through that.
If Uba Yerechimo, it's irrelevant, right? There's only one body. There's only one body. But if Uba Lav Yerechimo, then you have the Chiddush of the Dogel Mevava, that the Bezin has to know that they're handling two different Geiris. Okay, there's much more to Hilchas Geiris. These were the highlights. Good. Happy Purim to all.